It's the Confluence where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. Getting accurate information about the pandemic, whether it's the latest from health officials or what's open or not, can be critical. But what happens when you speak little or no English? Monica Ruiz is the executive director of the Latino support organization Casa San Jose. Thanks for connecting, Monica.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
Monica, how has the language barrier affected our Latino communities when it comes to understanding the health impact of COVID-19?
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Medical terminology is difficult for those of us that do speak English, right? And so we have a community here who many of them are just recent arrivals. So their English is non-existent. And even when we can get things that are in Spanish, it's really difficult to get things to a place where folks can understand it.
During the daily press briefings by the governor and the state health secretary, there's a person signing for the hearing impaired. Do you know of any direct translation of what Wolf and Dr. Levine are saying into Spanish?
No, not that I'm aware of.
So how is this all affecting your organization? Do clients ever call wanting to know what's happening regarding the latest health information?
Absolutely. So what's happening is that we are then tasked with translating this information, and we are not translators. We're not certified translators, and it's very dangerous for us to translate things, especially when it comes to medical health. And so what we do is we sometimes have to look at different states that do have better Spanish language material, and then part of it is getting it into Spanish, and then the other part of it is making charts. Because again, you know, even when you do speak the language, it's really hard to understand what's going on. So we try to make charts and graphs and use pictures. And we've seen how devastating this can be because many people in the community don't understand the severity of this. And it's because of the lack of the information that they're getting.
So you mentioned, you know, you're not certified translators, but you're still getting calls. That's how your clients are contacting you during this shutdown period. So what can you tell them over the phone? Do you feel equipped to do that?
So initially, what we were doing is just telling people, you have to call your doctor. You have to call your doctor because, again, we're not medical professionals. We don't want to give medical advice. And it wasn't until just a few weeks ago where we developed a really good relationship with UPMC. And so they have been able to give us some information. But again, it changes every day. So it's hard to get the most accurate, up-to-date information. So based on what we were hearing, we were able to tell people either to, you know, contact certain clinics because most of them don't have a PCP.
Do you get frustrated? Because normally you are the point of contact for many new arrivals, many in the Latino community, for assistance on a variety of issues. Do you feel frustrated yourself about maybe not being the direct answer?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, a lot of it is that, you know, we're not medical professionals, right? And so we can't give out any kind of information that we don't know. And it's frustrating because we don't have access to that information. And to the point when the governor passed that people, it was mandatory for folks to wear masks. Nobody in the community knew that. No one. And so I thought, well, you know, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? I was on a call with someone from the health department that told me that, the police are going to enforce that, you know, the wearing of the masks. And so, of course, that's terrifying for our community to have any contact with the police because that could lead to a deportation. And so what I had to do right away was try to figure out what was going on, how it was going to be enforced. I mean, luckily, in the city of Pittsburgh, but this is just the city of Pittsburgh, right? Chief Schubert put out a nice statement stating that the Pittsburgh police are going to use this as a teaching moment. If they see someone without a mask, they're going to talk to them about it. But again, what if somebody doesn't speak English? So what I did was that I got a donation of 100 masks that we distributed to our local police department so that if they saw someone who didn't have a mask, they would just provide them with one.
Monica, tens of thousands of Pittsburghers have lost their jobs due to the shutdown. How's this affected the Latino community?
Oh, it is such a tragedy. A lot of the folks that we work with work in the hospitality industry, and they, from day one, just did not have a dollar coming in at all because they're tipped employees. And so there's that. The other thing is that, you know, these folks don't qualify for unemployment. They're not getting any relief, COVID relief checks from the government. They have nothing. They have nothing saved. Even if they don't have to pay their rent for a month or two or three, you know, when that moratorium is lifted, they're going to have to pay that rent back. And they had nothing coming in during this entire time.
You mentioned not qualify. According to the Labor Department, about 1.9 million Pennsylvanians have applied for jobless benefits, either through the regular unemployment and the pandemic assistance for the self-employed, the gig workers, et cetera. Can people who are undocumented receive any of that help?
No, none of it.
So what resources are available to help ease the financial strain?
CASA. CASA San Jose is available. What I've been doing is I've been raising money because I'd like to create our own COVID relief check assistance for families. I've been very fortunate to have received a lot of money from foundations and individual donations. Some grants that I had pending have asked me if I wanted to change the focus of the grants. And so we've been able to gather some funds, and we're hoping to be able to start distributing some cash to people by next week. And it's not going to be, you know, the $1,200 that each individual American gets. It's going to be nothing near that, and it's not going to be for individuals. It's going to be for families. But it's going to be something for people who have literally had not a single dollar in their hand, you know, for 5, 6, 7 weeks now.
Monica Ruiz is the executive director of CASA San Jose. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
It's The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. Nearly 1 million of the 8.5 million registered voters have asked for mail-in ballots for the Pennsylvania primary June 2nd. Reporter Emily Previty has been covering this story closely for PA Post. Emily, what do you see as the biggest challenge for how we're going to be able to vote on that day?
Well, Pennsylvanians can vote by mail or in person, and the biggest challenge to voting by mail is that there's a very rapid expansion of that method that's happening. At last check, Pennsylvania had nearly 1 million quests statewide for a mailed or absentee ballot. That's more than five times as many as during the 2016 presidential primary. And we are not yet this year even at the point where there's typically a last minute rush of applications closer to election day.
What do the county elections directors need that maybe they're not getting?
Well, time and advance notice, which in some ways, that's not something that can totally be helped. And they also need equipment, additional manpower, additional space for doing the process and giving the need to maintain social distancing. And that all costs money. There's been some funding via federal stimulus that the state's been able to provide, but it's not nearly enough to cover what they expect to need.
Well, regarding the mail-in ballots, do they need more time to actually tally those votes?
They will, because in Pennsylvania, election directors cannot start processing ballots until polls open on election day at 7 a.m. They've asked the legislature for more time to be able to start, you know, a week or two before election day, kind of processing the ballots as they come back, scanning them on a designated machine where no one looks at the tabulation, essentially. And that's not going to happen.
Is there a poll worker shortage? You know, are people afraid to actually come out, work the polls, and be among a bunch of people?
That's not true in every county, at least not based on what election directors have said, but it's true in many of them. And so the legislature did make some changes to the election code in March that will allow election directors to consolidate polling places and cut staffing. It's not clear to what degree they'll be able to cut staffing yet. That guidance is expected from the Department of State at some point this week. But and then, you know, DOS also, they're issuing personal protective equipment. So the masks and gloves and hand sanitizer and other things we've been hearing so much about, that there's a shortage. In some counties, they believe they'll be able to be fully covered and give poll workers what they need with or without the state's help. In others, they're not so sure. They've been having a problem getting it.
Emily Previty is a reporter for PA Post. Thanks, Emily.
Thank you.
It's The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. During the coronavirus pandemic, 37-year-old Andrew Cousins saw his income as a rideshare driver in Erie drop by more than half. Some days, he was lucky to hit $40. His efforts to find an IT job have stalled. Stay-at-home orders have separated him from friends, which makes his depression harder to manage. Andrew documented the pandemic's effect on his life in video diaries and interviews, and shares his story as part of America Amplified. He starts by talking about a community group he helped found, which was supposed to celebrate its one-year anniversary 2 months ago.
I am the secretary for the group Nerds United in Erie. The big part was just being able to get to know more people that are into the things that I'm into. For me, video games, anime, PC gaming, well, technology in general. And it just gives me more of a social outlet compared to what I had before, which was actually very little. So yeah, our 1 year meetup that was canceled. Also, I was waiting to hear back on a couple IT positions, but then things happened and HR departments went silent. So I'm still doing my Lyft and Uber right now, and that is understandably super slow right now. So gets me a little on edge, making sure I have enough money to pay for bills and stuff like that, but yeah.
So, it's Saturday. Been out for a couple hours, and it's been extremely slow.
I don't have any masks at the moment. I'm hoping for a couple good days here and there so that I can hopefully purchase a couple reusable ones. I don't have a set schedule. I try to aim towards a certain amount, and usually I can do that, but then there are some times when I let it get to me a little too much, and then I'm just like, I can't do this anymore, and then I just sign off and go home, and come home and try and do something to boost my mood.
Good day, world. It's Tuesday, April 14th. I actually did pretty well. Had a nice long trip to and from Edinburgh. I had a gentleman who needed to get some food and clothing and such. So I actually had my roommate as a passenger yesterday. And she brought me a bottle of water, some M&Ms, and a thing of Jell-O. It made me smile. It was a nice gesture.
As far as community, and it doesn't just apply to Erie, it applies everywhere. Don't isolate yourself. Don't keep yourself from loving the things you love. Try to find the people that you connect with. Your emotional and mental health are going to thank you for it. It's absolutely worth the energy, even if it's hard to do.
And it's such a great morning here in Erie. My roommate was able to obtain a mask for me. It's a little small. Fogs up my glasses a lot, but it'll be something until I get the other ones that I've ordered.
Our first interview, it was great. I felt really good about it and everything. And then just afterwards, it just, my mood just went downhill. I don't know why. It's the fun part of depression. It just does things you can't explain, and it's a hassle.
I'm here before bed. It just wasn't a good mental day for me. I've been out driving every single day in one capacity or another for the last few weeks, so I think I need to take the weekend off and just relax and unwind and just regain my composure and okay. I'm gonna get to bed. I gotta be up in the morning, so good night.
I said the rest of the week wasn't too bad. The whole stimulus thing from the IRS came in. I started to feel immediate relief. I got my bills immediately paid up for the month. So yeah, I just decided I needed to stop, take a break, and get myself back together and then be able to go back at it on Monday. So before everything started going down, me and a few friends, we would every Saturday night go up to round one and just go have fun, play games, have dinner, and just talk for a few hours. I don't have that now. Yeah, I can talk to someone via Skype or text messages, send messages on Facebook or whatever, but it's still not the same as seeing them in person. The weekly tradition that we have is now indefinitely on hold. I'm just hoping people can, you know, actually pay attention to what those that are far smarter than them are saying to help us get through this thing quickly, because I want to go back to my normal Saturday night routine.
Erie is one of 24 counties that will see some restrictions lifted on Friday. Andrew says his Saturday night dinner and game tradition is still on hold, but he says maybe a few friends would be okay with getting together at a park soon. This story was produced by PA Post's Ed Mahan and WITF's Joe Ulrich as part of the America Amplified Initiative, a national public media collaboration focused on community engagement reporting. And for today, that is The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. You can find more about this and past episodes of the show on our website at wesa.fm/confluence. Thanks to our team, Helen Wicker, Tom Hurley, Joe Yazenkovich, Kylie Kozinski, and Megan Harris. I'm Kevin Gavin. Hope you have a good day of good news.